And may God's grace and favor be with us and strengthen us, even in this very hour and for all of the hours, even some of the dark ones that are yet ahead. Amen. It's hard to think about dark hours right now when, A, we've had the time change, and B, we've had a great time of our lives celebrating a World Series victory here in Houston this week. I think it was awfully nice of God to arrange the extra hour of sleep for this city that has been so tense and staying up late watching and celebrating these games. And you may have heard, you may have seen, there were lines around the stores that were selling World Series t-shirts. I'm not able to sell this t-shirt, but this is the t-shirt that I plan on wearing. For those of you that are maybe straining to see what that is, the Houston Chronicle reported that a Houston Astros fan was in the outfield on Thursday's game when Chas McCormick reached up and saved what was certain to be an extra base hit and probably saved the game. And then as he crashed down on the warning track, he lay there for a second, A, in just utter joy that he caught it, B, in sympathy and commiseration for the fans looking down at him in shock because he grew up in Philadelphia, and C, the joy that he was on the winning team. And when he got up, he left that impression on the warning track. You can even see his number at it if you look closely or go to the Chronicle's website. But I really do believe there are angels in the outfield. So, and I hope I've tried to describe it fairly well for those who can't quite make it all out. I'll put it up in my Bible class too if you want to come up a little closer. But, you know, in the midst of that joy and that wonderful celebration, there's still this reality going on. Did you notice even during the baseball game, if you were watching it, all the political advertisements, all the reminders of the election that was coming up? And take just a moment to share this. I found it fascinating. I did not know this. I did know there are laws in the United States about the truth in advertising. You have to tell the truth. You know, if your particular soda has, you know, this characteristic, or your toothpaste has the best whitening and brightening, you can say that, but it has to be true. There's one carve-out, one exemption for the truth in advertising law. Do you know what it is? Political ads. Yeah. They don't have to tell the truth. They can say this politician's for open borders, or they can say this politician's the worst one that's ever appeared on the face of this earth, and they don't have to prove any of that. Part of what they're doing is proving that they're trying to scare us. They're trying to control our minds and our thoughts. And I thought on this one All Saints Sunday, it might be good for us as we move towards this wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, it might be good for us to focus for the next couple of weeks on how we're supposed to live in these chaotic and uncertain and times when we have moments of joy like World Series victories, but also can have some really tough times. Some really challenging times. Times that Jesus described in our gospel reading, where we hear of wars and rumors of wars, and there are kingdoms against kingdoms, and there is famine and difficulty and all kinds of struggle that's going on. Earthquakes. These things are happening in our world. A war between Ukraine, being attacked by Russia, stopping the flow of grain that goes to Africa that feeds millions. All of it's happening. Maybe these are the end times. Of course, the church and people have been saying that now for these last 2,000 years. I think Jesus points out we can't get hung up on here it is, there it is, here's the one, this is the right prophet. He's telling us, no, there are things you can do, things that I pray you will do as you live out in these days, whether they are near the end or far from the end or anywhere in between. How then shall we live? Living out our faith. The Apostle Paul tries to talk about that a bit in our epistle lesson. He writes in there and describes that one thing that's important for him in all of the difficulties that are there where the church is being persecuted, where he is literally in jail because of Jesus, he asks, please pray that I can still share the gospel. Share it clearly, share it out in the rest of the world, but please pray I can still share the gospel right. And then he also asks them, could you please you be sharing the gospel in your own way. Here are the words he said, that you be wise towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity, and let your conversations be seasoned with grace. Now, I know there's that temptation for us to get in touch with our little inner Eeyore. Oh my, the world's going so bad. I don't know if we're going to make it. It feels like it's the end of days. Or sometimes we can get in touch with our little inner Ebenezer Scrooge. Bah, humbug. It's all a mess. It's all a racket. It's all a conspiracy. It's terrible. But I think we can also be in touch with the Christ who dwells within us. The Christ who showed grace to us so that our sins are forgiven. Our future is secure with the other saints who have gone ahead of us in heaven. And because of that, the way we talk to other people can be different. The conversations that we have. I don't know about your workplaces or your neighborhoods, but have you noticed that there are generally people that a lot of us just walk right by? Have you noticed the yard guys? Or the garbage picker-uppers, or the floor moppers, or whatever it is that people do. There's all kinds of people working in Walmart or whatever store you go into that we just walk right by. I'm not saying we have to have a conversation with every one of these, but how about the conversations we can have, the promptings we do feel from God, an opportunity to show some grace to someone, to show some kindness to someone? Just yesterday, I watched this person who was sort of mopping a little bit, and I think the mop was kind of winning. I don't know what was really on her mind. I don't know what her real struggle was. But as I walked by, she said, you know, it's kind of a typical people are passing greeting. Hey, how you doing? And I said, well, I'm doing okay, but I wonder, how are you? And I watched this downcast face change to open eyes of surprise and then kind of soften. Thank you very much for asking. What would it be like if we had just some simple conversations with people that normally we might walk right past? Conversations where we might share some of the grace that has been shared with us. What a difference that might make. What a hope that might give. What a way that we might give some strength to someone. Paul does encourage us about what kind of answers to give, and we can explore some of that in today's Bible class. But I think just the starting point about being wise of saying, you know, I have a limited amount of time on this earth, and I have a limited amount of time perhaps with this person that I pass by, either this one time or on a regular basis. What can I do to show them some grace? I think another thing that's really helpful for us when again, because they don't have to follow truth of advertising rules, all the political ads or all the news stories want to tell us just how dark things are, where the direction statistics are heading for crime and everything else. In the midst of all the darkness, can you and I still shine with some light? I love how Jesus is describing, you know, this darkness, and it is pretty dark. You know, some of you are going to be persecuted, handed over to death. Some of them, people are going to turn away from their faith. Some will betray you and hate you. The love of many, even he says most, will grow cold. There's darkness out there, yes. But Jesus says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I think that's the one who knows that even though it's all dark out there, that Jesus, the light of the world, is still with us. I think that person that still stands, even though the knees may not be so good, I may not be able to stand as long in church as I used to be able to. I may not be as mobile or able to do some of the things that I used to be able to do. But that person who isn't led and driven or giving in to fear and says, I know this, God's going to work everything out in the end. That's shining light. That's letting his light into us, and that's letting his light also out of us. That's an opportunity that we have as well for the people that move towards their inner Eeyores or their inner Ebenezer Scrooge, for us to shine that light and to help people see the love of God that is there for us, even when people are distracted with the things of this world and settling for those instead of the light and the love and the strength that God can give us. I really do pray especially that we won't let our love grow cold. You know, we can have a wonderful, passionate, a great time cheering on our sports team when they're doing well, or we can be like Texans fans are, not showing up or wearing brown bags over their heads. There are ups and there are downs and all kinds of different things that we might love in this world. But we never have to hide or be ashamed because of the one who first loved us. The one whose love has absolutely changed us. I know, if you don't know, I have no right to stand in this pulpit in front of all of you, except if it were the love of God for me. I think you know that you have no right to gather here in his house or to have any hope of heaven except for his love for you. That he would pay a price, that he would die upon the cross to cancel out your sins, your wrongdoings, your times of letting love run hot or cold. Where would we be if it wasn't for the God who so loved the world and loved each one of us that he gave us his Son? Where would we be without him? What I do know is that we don't have to worry about that question or wonder. We do have that love. We cling to that love and that promise that he has loved us and not only died and risen again for us, but promises we will rise. Promises we will see the ones we have lost who will rise, who are already with him. You know, there are lots of difficult circumstances in this life. Some maybe even too painful to talk about in public. Some that just feel so dark and they feel cold and we wonder, how could good ever come out of that? And that's where we need the warmth of his love. You know, when Martin Luther was asked once hypothetically, if you knew the world was going to end, what would you do? He smiled and he said, I'd plant an apple tree. I'd keep doing the right thing. I'd keep expecting that just maybe God would want the world to go on, and I'd want there to be some good waiting for the ones who are going on in it. You know, Martin Luther also, in one of the darkest times of a family's life, buried a person who had committed suicide in the church graveyard. The ongoing thought at that time was, if you have done that, you aren't deserving of God's grace and you don't deserve to be buried in the church graveyard. But Martin Luther wrote to that family and explained to his own church that though depression may have grabbed that person, God's grab of love was even stronger. It's that love. It's that love of God that grabs hold of you that I hope you will feel strong in today. It's that grab of love that I hope you will also, in that love, strengthened in that, share with others today. It's that love. That love that promises to wipe away all of our tears and promises us an eternity where there is no more suffering, darkness, sadness, depression, death, or disease, or anything else. It's that love that promises he will hold on to us. So grab hold of that hand and share that love every way you can. And may God be glorified as in his love we stand. Amen.